Mary and I were in Colorado with Mike and Sarah and Brielle for the last 5 days. And we flew in last night and got home. And it was a wonderful time. It was just an extraordinarily beautiful, nice moment in life. The thing that blessed me, I think, the most was before we went, Brielle, my 13-year-old granddaughter, called me up and said she was told to pick one of the epistles and she was to do a report on it. And she knew that my favorite epistle was the book of Ephesians, because I had told her that a couple of years before. So she said, "Would you teach me the book of Ephesians?" And I want to tell you something. I don't know how you all think of this. I just thought this was one of those great moments in my life, period. I've had some wonderful moments, but to have my granddaughter, I get all mushy here. But to have my granddaughter ask me to teach her the Word of God was, there was nothing better. I live for this day. And it was just one of those moments. So I wanted to, God has given us the ability to hold forth His word. He has given us, this is our mission in life, is really to reach out to others, to reconcile them back to God. Not to reconcile them to us in the church, but to reconcile people to God. And to bring them to the place where they praise Him, love Him, and start to walk with Him as a child does with the father, so that He can have them forever. That's the mission. I've been praying day after day after day after day. I don't meet that many new people, and I certainly don't meet a heck of a lot of people that are not in my generation. It's one of my problems. Young people don't necessarily want to talk to old people. But I just keep praying. I just keep praying. And God has been very merciful to me, and every once in a while I get the chance. But this one, this was like, oh, there was nothing better. It was like all those prayers, all that thought, all that care to know and to want to seek to have someone really to impress the Word of God on. It was this was like getting to talk to the Apostle Paul, as far as I was concerned. So I wanted to take you through some of the things that were extraordinary, because when we're talking about a young 13-year-old, we're talking about an individual who doesn't know a whole lot. So in the 5 days I was there, we went through the entire book. You can't do every little thing that I would do necessarily, but I taught her like an adult. I treated her with respect, taught her like an adult, held her accountable, just like I do everybody else. I mean, there was nothing different there. Now, you all know that the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are doctrinal. This is what God has done for us in Christ. The last three chapters are our duty to walk, and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And God sets in order both the things that He wants us to understand, and what he has done. And then he gives us the prayers to pray so that we can understand those things in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. To watch the eyes light up and to say, this is difficult. And then to realize that God gave me prayers to pray that he'll answer. That he will answer these prayers so that I can have. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. So in verse 16, it says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. He's going to give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Your Father in heaven wants you to know him. He wants to give you the wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. In Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, this is his inheritance. He wants me to know. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He wants us to pray, and to pray for one another, but pray. And believe. See, these are not just words that you talk and you just let them roll over your head. These are words that you got to stop, ponder, think, and you got to hide them in your heart. Almighty God wants you to know about him. He wants you to know that you are the riches of the inheritance that he has. He wants you to understand the power that he has exhibited, he has done, and that you have in life. If you're not walking in power, if you don't have a smile on your face when you read this, you're missing something. You know, you're missing something. Your Father loves you so much. He cares for us so much. He will answer this prayer. He had it written down so that you would know that he would answer this prayer. All you got to do is have that strong faith that he'll do this. You know, if you read the first chapter, I think I've taught it a number of times, but if you read those first 12 verses, they're like one I think that it starts in verse 3. It's one line. There's no, it's like the guy don't take a breath in the Greek. It's just one positive after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And goes on. He's the one giving us the Spirit. He's the one that's given us this token of the Spirit. He sealed us with the Spirit of the promise. He's given us the promise of the hope that's in front of us. And now I want you to pray this prayer so you get it. And if you don't pray the prayer with faith, guess what? You don't get it. You don't get it. Many Christians don't get it at all. They don't even try. You know, so, and in chapter 2, he tells us how he saved us and for what purpose. What was the result? You know, he made us alive. He saved us by grace because of his mercy. You know, that we would be able to display his workmanship. Look at, this was a section here that I think I would like to just look at again. Verse 11, chapter 2. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those words are so strong. He wants you to remember. Everyone in this room, I believe, is a Gentile. I don't think there's any exceptions. Gentiles are non-Jews. And he's talking mostly, the church in Ephesus is pretty much non-Jews. You know what the non-Jews that weren't promised anything are called, that believe on Christ? Saints. Saints, heaven's holiest. You know, anybody who believes is heaven's holiest. But he wants you to remember where you came from. It's real important. I got a whole history in my personal life, right? And it makes up a little piece of me. Doesn't rule me anymore, but it makes up a piece of me. It has affected me, and it has given me strength. It has taught me a lot of different things, both positive and negative. But I steer how things work nowadays. But it was an experience. The experience of the Bible is that you, as a Gentile, were not promised the Messiah. Absolutely no Messiah. You, as a Gentile, had absolutely no part in the promises. I mean, you're left out of this thing. You have absolutely no hope. And you were without absolute, and these are absolute terms, absolute no's. All these things were absolute tense in the Greek. Absolutely without God in the world. Now that's shocking. I thought God loved everybody. Yeah, he does, but not everybody loved God. So when God wanted mankind back then, Abraham was the only guy that wanted him. And Abraham and his family got blessed. Imagine having a planet, which it's not hard to, it's really not that hard to imagine because it's happened before. Remember Noah? He's the only one that found grace. His wife, you know, I don't know where she was at, but she got a ticket to ride. She could hang out. And his kids, a ticket to ride. Oh, you got to be old for this one. Oh. So, I mean, it says that all mankind had nothing but evil in their heart continually. And if it wasn't for God's action, even Noah and his family wouldn't have made it. That is the nature of man. That's the nature of man. Now you can complain about it, or you can rejoice in the fact that you no longer walk after that old nature. You can mourn it, and I do. Jesus mourned the cities that didn't believe in him. He mourned their sin. He mourned the fact that they didn't believe. But guess what? You and I did. We're called heaven's holiest of all saints. But don't forget this great grace. Don't forget this great gift that God has given to us. Don't ever forget it. You ain't that cool. It's by you were dead in trespasses and sins just like everybody else, and by his grace you were saved because of his great mercy. We had no promises, and we were without God in the world. But, big words, B-U-T, but God, verse 13, chapter 2, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. His sacrifice and the spilling of his blood brought us near. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain, of the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, And he came and he preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh, the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built together on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, grows to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are God's habitation now. We went from dead to God's habitation. This is what God has done. From dead trespasses and sins, walking with the devil, to now you are God's habitation. He did this by the cross. He sent his son. He bled. He's the one that accomplished this. And he took the two people, Israel and the Gentile, and he's taken those two people and he has made them one. There's no more. You can talk about all you want. Okay, well, you know, like, I don't know. There's a huge difference between secular country and political Israel and what we're talking about here in the Bible. There's a huge difference between what we're talking about with the Gentiles and all the different, everybody's got a different group, different country, different nationality, different language, different everything. God don't care about any of it. He don't care about nothing that has to do with the way sense knowledge man is thinking. Remember, Ephesians is, he's not asking people, this was a shocking revelation to Brielle. God doesn't care what you think about it. He's telling you what he did. He's telling you what he laid out. When it gets to the walking part, he's telling you, this is how I want you to walk. This is the order of things. You know? Now, it doesn't, very few people do those things. And they certainly don't do them perfectly. But that's not why he wrote the book of Ephesians. That's not why he had it given. He had it given, it's like the perfect marriage in there, right? The utopian marriage is to represent the mystery. But God decided how it's going to run. God decided how the family unit is going to be. God decided. He didn't ask. Now, he just gives the big picture. He didn't ask children whether they felt like obeying their parents. It wasn't like, well, if you feel like it. No, it's a command. This is the way things are. This is just the way things are. You love me. You love what I've done for you. Just do what I say. And again, he doesn't really care about anything. When he's communicating this, he's communicating his thoughts and his word to us. And he expects it. If you're going to walk worthy of me, this is how you're going to do it. But go back here, this great mystery. He took the two and he made them one. And he took away anything that was contrary to that. He took away all the ordinances. This is what God gets to choose what he does. Remember, in the Old Testament, God says, if you're a Jew, you don't hang out with Gentile. If you're a Jew, you don't marry a Gentile. You know, so forth. Now he's, I took away all the ordinances. Now, if you don't feel like believing it, that's your problem. That's your up to you. The only thing you should be worried about when you get married is, did I marry a believer? That's it. Did I marry someone who's going to praise God and love God and do the word with me? And we're going to raise our kids to do that? That's the only thing I ought to be thinking about. Because it just don't matter any other which way. Don't matter whether you're a vegetarian or you're a carnivore or anything else. It don't matter. Do whatever you want. God don't even talk about it. Don't add things to it. Just keep it simple. Anything that was in the way and separated those two people, there's no such thing in God's heart any longer as Jew and Gentile in this sense. All who believe on the Messiah are one. They are heaven's holiest. They are his child. The believers, the ones who have gotten the promise, they are the ones who he's dealing with in this book. We all have access by that one Spirit in verse 18. And it says in 19, and we're no longer... Where before we had no hope, we had no Christ, we had no Messiah, we had no promises, we were not part of the Commonwealth of Israel. Now, 19, now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're in his household. And you're built upon that foundation. And guess what? This thing works together. All of it works together. All these believers work together. And you get to see this later on the practical side, where we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he tells you what the unity is supposed to be about. It's not what you want it to be about. You know, there's one body, one Lord, one baptism. He tells you what unity he wants you to think about. Not that all the churches in the neighborhood get together and hang out together. It's not that we all get along. That'd be wonderful if they all believe the scripture. But it's very difficult if you got people who are willing to be compromise the scripture and then have fellowship. You know, you can go to the extremes if you want, but it's even difficult when with the little stuff. So we are built together, verse 22, in whom we are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, I don't know when the last time you read Ephesians in your heart and in your life and your study. I love the book. I love the book because it tells me exactly what I'm to do. It tells me what God did. It's so rich. It's so full. And it gives me so much joy. So much hope. It puts such a big smile on my face. I had such a big smile on my face when I got to see Brielle's face light up as she learned the book. And I was enjoying the moment with her because I'm enjoying the book as well as her reaction. What a gift. To take the things that God has given, this love letter that God has given to us, to take it in and let it change your heart. What problem do you got? You are the habitation of God. You are God's habitation. Is he far away? Do you not have access to him by the Spirit that he's given to you? Do you believe it? I guess that's really the question. It says it, but do you believe it? That's what it comes down to. And that's why we got to look in the mirror sometimes and we got to say, this is what it says. Am I living this? Is this the fruit in my life? Or am I just like, you know, the... grumpy. I'm so grateful and thankful God had this written down. I want to go to the other prayer. I want to end there in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, each one of us is at a different stage in our particular spiritual walk and growth. And, you know, that's always been true. You know, we know a lot of similar things, but at the same time, each one is an individual. God deals with us as individual children. He doesn't deal with us as a group. And we all have places that we're strong and places that we're weak. We got times that, you know, we're on the high part of life, the top of the mountain, and we got places in the valleys. But, you know, you and I need to pray these prayers and believe that the good Father, the merciful Father that we have will answer them. He will answer these prayers. And in chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, just a little technicality here. Who does Paul pray to? The Father. So tell me where all these Christian churches get off praying to Jesus. You follow me? I mean, is this a little thing? I don't want to go on a whole sideline. It's just printed in black and white. But if you just glaze over it, you miss it a lifetime. And so most people don't read the Bible. They talk about the Bible. They don't read it. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That's quite a standard. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you want to be rooted and grounded in love? Are you asking? Are you asking? That you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, the multidimensional aspects, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And if something passes human knowledge, the only way you're going to get it is if God gives it to you. And the only way you're going to get that is if you ask him. It's just such a... Ask him. Ask him to show you the love of Christ. Ask him for it to dwell in your heart. Ask him for these things. Just persist in asking. Don't give up. You know, this is the time when you take those parables where the guy's outside. You want to be a pain in the neck to God and keep asking. I want this. I want this bad. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Pray. These are prayers that I absolutely guarantee, because they're in the Word. I can say this with all faith and with all absoluteness in my heart. The promises of God are yea and amen. He will answer these prayers if they're prayed. If you really believed it. I mean, this is science fiction stuff to unbelievers. Not to me. This is not, you know, for the people who don't even think about words to speak when they pray on their own. This is like way out there. You know, they're just reading out of a prayer book. God will answer those prayers. He will give you a depth in your life that is beyond anything that you've experienced thus far in your life. You know, so a lot of us are up there in age. He will double down. There's no question in my mind he can do that. Take you places you ain't never been. Well, we're going to pray now.